Hallelujah. Amen. Sit down. Praise the Lord. Next week is camp meeting. Praise the Lord. What a time of our lives we expect. And I was sharing in the first service about why we have meetings and why we gather. And so I wouldn't have to go over that because I've already said it. So I'll just start from where I stopped. And okay, let me try and just summarize what I said in the first service. I spoke about in the first service the importance of gathering, that to come together is not a suggestion, is not an option, it is actually an instruction. And we looked at Hebrews 10 from 22, where it says we should draw near with a heart, our hearts full of assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And then it says, let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. Verse 23. Then verse 24 now says, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking, 25, the assembling together of one another, as the manner of some is, as much as we see the day approaching. So we're instructed in scriptures to come together. And I went into a couple of things, and we said there are different kinds of meetings. You remember what we said? We said the first kind of meetings are what? Teaching meetings, where the word of God is primarily taught. We said the second kind of meetings we have are what? Prayer meetings, where what we do primarily is to pray. Now, Kenneth He Hagin, whom I consider to be my own spiritual father, is going to be the Lord now. He had a vision in 1987, and he wrote a book titled Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And he dealt with certain issues in the body of Christ. I read that book every year. There are three books I ensure I read from Brother Hagin every year. I read that. How to Follow God's Plan for Your Life. And then How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Those are three materials I read. Actually, I read them three times a year, not just once a year. Because the books, they deal with you as an individual and how much you should follow God's plan. And Brother Hagin mentioned how the Lord Jesus told him by a vision how, you know, we don't stick to the purpose of things. When you have a prayer meeting, people will spend time singing. When you have a teaching meeting, they will spend time praying. When, as you know, and we mix, we just mix the issues up, and we don't get things done accurately as we should in God's plans and purpose. And then he mentioned how we must be orderly. If you call a meeting, you stick to the purpose of that meeting. And I'm saying this because when I began to pastor, maybe 21 years or 22, when I began to pastor, not when I began the ministry, but when I began to pastor, I began to religiously look into those instructions that he gave to ensure that we did not, because those instructions were in line with the Bible, with the scriptures, and so to ensure that we were not just doing things as we liked it. And I mentioned that in the first service, that a pastor does not ask his congregation what they want. See, that's a wrong protocol. God has already determined the needs of everybody. God. He has already determined the needs of, you don't need to know that you're a sinner before we know you're a sinner. Because the Bible already tells us. So God has determined already the needs of everybody. In other words, that's why he has given his word. So we don't determine what to preach because of what people think their problem is. Where everything is predetermined, the needs of people, and so the Word of God is a constant. What did I say? The Word of God is a constant. Because the needs of people never change. They think it has changed, but it has never changed. It's the same thing. Man's greatest need is God, fellowship with God. The Christian's greatest need is knowledge of the Word. It's so simple. So, you know, we need to realize that and not mix issues up. And so why do we have meetings? So in the first service, we went into the kind of meetings that we have. We have teaching meetings. And we said that teaching meetings ought to be a typical Sunday service. Did you say that right? All right, a typical Sunday service and Wednesday service. And we have prayer meetings. We also talked about evangelistic meetings. And then healing meetings. And then we now said there are special meetings. We call them special purpose meetings where all those things are now done in those particular meetings. Of course, special meetings cannot be every Sunday meeting. Special meetings, you know, they occur, you know, at certain times. You know, we looked at Acts 11. We said they taught the church for 1 year, and then in the midst of it, there was now a Holy Ghost meeting. So there are special meetings, and that's the. I can't go over everything I said in the first service. I'm just summarizing them a little bit. So there are special meetings, and I made bold to say this, that we don't organize meetings in our church, Saints Community Church, before we even started the church in 2007. We had been running meetings around the country. We don't do meetings because everybody is doing it. No, we don't. We don't do meetings because it's what's popular, and we now have what they call members AGM, annual general meeting. Then we now begin to ask. I once asked the church pastor, why do you do AGM? He said, Acts of the Apostles 15. I said, that wasn't an AGM. And I showed him, this is a practice in this church for several years. I said, who were in that meeting? He didn't know. I said, apostles and elders. It was a minister's meeting. You look at it. He said, no, elders. Elders in the church. You know, I said, no. Elders in the church are those who are overseers. That is, an elder is a ministry gift. Because after he said, call them elders, he now picked out Judas and Silas, and he called them prophets. And others also, he called them teachers. He had never seen it before. I said, that's what I'm showing you. I said, no, that is, there's nothing called I said, the only annual general meeting was a meeting of murmuring in Acts 6. And that was a bit of a, you know, just a humor, you know. I said, you don't determine what the needs of the church is by listening to them. That's exactly what Aaron did in the Bible. You don't do that. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said that to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1. He said, I charge you before Jesus Christ and his elect. And then in verse 2, he says, preach the word. Remember that? Come on, remember that? Be instant, in season, and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, reprove with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. He said, but they will heap up teachers. They will have itching ears, and they will heap up teachers according to their own lust. Now, that means that you cannot use people's wants to determine ministry. Or, let me put it like this, what people think they want. I remember years ago, I got a brother. I got someone born again, so he became a brother. So, he said, sir, if you know my problem now, I said, what is it? I need a job badly. Because I want to secure admission to the Lagos State Polytechnic then at Isolo. That was where he was. He said, I've not been able to secure admission because I don't have money. So that's my greatest need. I said, that's not your need. I could go ahead and give you money, even though that day I didn't have, sincerely. So, but that was not the excuse anyway. And I could get it later. But I said, that's not your need. Your need is to grow spiritually in God's word. You can't tell, I'm the one that will tell you. I was the one who came to you to tell you what your need was when you got saved. At least I brought the gospel to you to let you know you needed Jesus Christ as your Lord. So, this guy said, yes, I know. But I cannot concentrate on this knowledge of the word of God if I don't get into school. And I said, no, you will concentrate. I will pray for you. Is the knowledge, he said, that all men may be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2. Who will have that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? So, that's not true. That's not your problem. And so, sometimes we make that the way we build our churches. And we ask people, come, there'll be free lunch. Nothing wrong in that. I'm believing God that between this year and next year, we shall distribute around 200,000 books. Hallelujah. I said 200,000. We're starting with 4,000. We're doing more. Praise the Lord. Because that's the greatest need. Is that true? That's the greatest need. Give that to you. Praise the Lord. You know, when we say our old books are free, stuff in there, hot stuff. Is that true? Very hot stuff. This gospel. And then tongues and new covenant reality. Three materials. Anywhere it's read in the world, it changes lives. Is that true? Amen. So I told the fellow, I said, that's not your problem. Now, if I was desirous of having my fellowship, then I would just say, okay, you shall want admission and money so that you will not go to any other church. He gave him the word. The funny thing was, he actually didn't stay. He ran away. And so, one day, in 99, I think about, that was about 4 years after that scenario, 4 years after, we had a program, The Knowledge of His Glory. That was a program. The Knowledge of His Glory. 1999. I'm not sure, I think it was 98, you were there. This place, there was the Lateran Assembly Church. We were there. It's either 98 or 99. There used to be Lateran near Apostles' House. It was 98. All right. It was 1998. That means that was 3 years after. He actually came for that program not knowing I was the one preaching. Now, he was in that school. Okay? So he came to that program. Why did he come to that program? Because somebody in the ministry was bringing it up in the Lord. So when he saw me in that program, so they are taking light, so we stood outside. He said, bro, said that you? I said, well, the last one is mine. I don't know about the first one. He said, I know you very well. I said, how? He
that I knew him, but I was acting like I didn't know him. You understand? And I said, hey, where? I said, are you? Led me to the Lord. I said, hey, I did. Yeah, you see. In fact, then, you really were trying for me. I said, I did. He said, you did. So I tried for you, you did. I said, I'm so glad to see you. So really happy that you are still very strong in the Lord. I was looking at him. So I said, thank you very much for your encouragement. Ah, no. So how did you get here? He said, and sister so and so, she's like my pastor. She's this one. Right? I said, I know you too. Yeah, so you remember? I said, hey, no. How will I forget you? You ran away. Ah! He was looking silly. Ah, no, it's not like that. I said, like, how? Have you not run back now? So you found out that the problem was not an admission. That's why you eventually came. If you had stayed, you'd have gotten the admission, and you'd probably be the one bringing somebody to this program. I'm ready. Because we had this correspondence we were doing, so he also had the books. I said, he never came back again. I don't know where he is now. Maybe if I search him on Facebook, I'll find him. Maybe saying amen to someone's prayer. Say, if you know this is your week of miracle, click amen. You need to wash your brain. Your brain needs laundry. Right, let's go. So, that's not his. That wasn't his. I mean, did you find out that wasn't his need? You found that was his need. That wasn't his need. Hallelujah. So, we don't organize programs. People are having relationship issues. Say, hey, yeah. Those are just crashing like the earthquake. What do we do? We do program. He's an ass. If relationships were not having their own challenges, Paul would not give instruction. And Peter would not talk about it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He gave instructions about the wife and the husband. If you know, it's so consistent. That means that it wasn't like a topsy-dovey thing in the church. But it wasn't majored on. He majored on the individuals and their spiritual development. Are you still there? Hallelujah. You discover that the solution he gave to everybody was the word. The same thing. The knowledge of the word. Our youths. We don't want them to be going to disco party. So we are going to organize Jesus and me. Jam. Never heard about that before. I preached in a jam before. I didn't preach in this one. In 1994, my friend, he's been the Lord now, God be the Lord, we went for a program organized to reach out to cultists. So we were told to wear bandana at the Obabemelo University, just outside the amphitheater. And so my friend actually had to wear earrings. No, he didn't pierce his ears. I mean, he just put a stud. I didn't go that far. But he did. And then, you know, he wore a ring. He liked things like that. You know. So, you know, to the Jew. So he was. But the joy in there was he didn't go there to sing. got all those club boys around and all that. So he began to minister by revelation gifts. And that was what he did. And a couple of people got born again. I remember that day, Pastor Ayorichi Jaffa was actually on campus that same day. And they didn't go there. But he came for this jam. And then, so you understand that I know that aspect of doing the ministry. But I've grown since 94. Is that not true? It's a while back. And you don't have to do all that. If my friend Nida knew, he didn't have to do all that. Praise the Lord. How did I get to that? I'm sure you're remembering. So you don't organize what they were jam. And then you begin to sing for people to like what you're singing. Give me a big J. Justify me, he elevated me, S. Sanctify me, U.S. umbrella over me, yes. Oluwa me, that's the way I like it. I'm telling you something that happened real. Right? No, I'm not saying, I didn't think it off my head. I don't get those kind of sounds. But I'm saying that I heard that live because they were trying to reach out. I'm a very old-fashioned Christian. I stick to the same truth. Now, our methods must be the same. The message, Jim Andrews said, our message is Christ. Our method is the miraculous. Our motivation is love. I like that. What about you? Our message is the same, Christ. Our method is the miraculous. And our motive is the love of God. I believe. Now, why do we organize programs? Why do we organize meetings? A special meeting like this is to do exactly what I shared in the first service. To have different kinds of things that the scripture teaches happen in just one meeting. Camp meeting is a teaching meeting. It's a what? It's a what? Teaching meeting. Where the word of God is taught. That means a teaching meeting. We put out the word. You know, it's not a camp. Like some people think a camp. Some people say, where is the camp? Where are we going to camp? Mm-mm. Camp meeting is like saying tent meeting. Right? It was used in 19th century and 20th century. Where people will come early in the mornings and they will come and hear the word. Then in the afternoon, then in the evenings, they'll come back again for what then they call them tarrying meetings, basically Holy Ghost meetings. And Brother Hagin, whom I spoke about earlier, he also started the Kenneth Hagin Camp Meeting in 1973, and it had the same flavor. And that's where we took our inspiration from, to hold meetings where the word of God will be taught, and the Spirit of God will be given a free course to demonstrate Himself. And that's the essence of our Charis Camp Meeting. Now, let me tell you why we call it Charis Camp Meeting. Do you know why? Because the Greek word is freely given. No. What happened was this. We began meetings for secondary schools. We call them Charis Meetings. Now, there are two kinds of meetings we used to hold in secondary schools in the 90s and in the early 2000s. We have a meeting we call Charis Meetings. In the Charis Meetings, what we do is that we teach and preach, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to have a free course. We get people born again and healed. We call those ones Charis Meetings. Then we used to have Word Classes. Word Classes is where we now teach the students on another day who they are in Christ. And we used to have living word correspondence. Am I right, guys? I hope I'm on course. Living word correspondence, where we give them materials to study in secondary school. And then we used to have one more thing. Soul Winners Advance, where we train them to do evangelism. So we decided to hold a camp meeting. Okay? So if we're going to call the camp meeting a name, It has to bear the name of the meetings we're doing. So that they know that it's the same people. So, because when they see our folks, those are the Charis people. Charis people. So we now call it Charis Camp. Is that clear now? So it's not like we heard it from heaven. So, that's the essence of Charis. Because the reasons why we had those meetings was to let them see that everything that God has is free. Hallelujah. In Christ. We recall the very first meeting we had, camp meeting. A secondary school boy. Secondary school. I think they said that they wanted to organize. They did a drama that day. They said they wanted to do a presentation. So we allowed them to do. And that drama was about the fact that they had overcome the world. And that was just what they learned in the meeting. Because the theme was over the top. Whatever is born of God has overcome the world. Hallelujah. So they organized. And then somebody raised a question. And then I didn't answer. And then someone in there, a secondary school SS3 student, just raised, two was it, raised his hand. And he began to quote the word. He said, if any man is in Christ, a new creature. He said, all those things are given to us in Christ Jesus. I didn't even have to answer. Right there. Praise the Lord. So the year after, your pastors were in the university, then they came to that particular camp meeting. And they sat down with secondary school folks. You know what I'm talking about. And then they were hearing probably the first time those things, those ones were hearing before. You know what I mean? So it's not about whether you're in university or secondary school. There's some folks in our children's church that can teach many believers. Is not true. So they started coming. So we said, let's separate the secondary school camp from the others. So that's why we now have Fortress Camp, and then we have Charis Camp. Is it clear to you? But the things, what we do is the same. Is it not true? It's the same. Okay, enough of history. So the reason for that camp meeting is so that the word of God is taught. And the Spirit of God is given a free course. So we're going to have teaching meetings, or we've been having teaching meetings, and Holy Ghost meetings, and then we have healing services right there. And we have people also get born again in those meetings. Many people filled with the Spirit. We also, you know, how many of you have been participated in the believers' meetings, Holy Ghost meetings, where people, you know, go in different groups, right? Clusters like that. And tremendous flow of the Holy Ghost. People have been trained in those gatherings. So that's the essence of our camp meeting. Like I said in the first service, following the scriptural pattern, why you must hold a meeting. Hallelujah. Alright. Now, I finished the first service by sharing my own experience of how my life has been changed by going to the right kind of meetings, the right places, the kind of meetings where you should attend. I mean, going to the right meetings. I'll share two, then I'll go into the Word to explain a couple of things to you. I mentioned this in the first service, why I went to a meeting in 1994, organized at the Lateran Assembly, but they were not the ones who organized it, but they hosted it. African Association or so of Independent Ministries. So I get crashed into that meeting because I wasn't supposed to be there. So I got inside, and a man by the name of Ross Tatro, is pastor to glory now. He was preaching about the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, he preached about power in ministry. And in the middle of it is a meeting where when I went for it, I was fasting. It was my culture back then. If I go for any spiritual activity, whether I'm preaching or I'm being preached at, I stay fasting and praying. So I was fasting. And I was the only person in that gathering, I suppose, that was not invited. He couldn't have known. So as he was ministering, he pointed out to me. I was in the third row. He said, hey, you. I was the only person. He began to prophesy. He laid hands on me. He began to speak. 22 years ago. He said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, I brought out my Walkman. I said, I'm recording everything you're saying. Hallelujah. When I got home, I played again and again. Those words. There's nobody I was really, I was preaching, you know, traveling around and preaching, but just starting out. And those words became so real. Praise the Lord. Where did I get that? I got that by being at the right place. At the right time. Glory to God. You go to the right place at the right time. See, our lives are built by words. Words spoken by the Spirit of God. Our lives are built by words. Words spoken by the Spirit of God. So, we must be aware those things happen. Let me ask you, is there any believer here in the house who does not want to learn the Word of God? Is there anybody here who wants to learn the Word of God? Raise your hand if you want. Just a few of us. You want to learn the Word of God? Raise your hand. Now, is there anybody who wants to learn the ways and the things of the Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay, that means if you are going to learn, you go to where it is taught. Right? Am I correct? You go to places where it is taught. If you are going to learn something, no matter how much you desire to be a medical doctor, if you don't go to where they teach medicine, you will not learn it. So, no matter how desirous you are, you must go to the right place at the right time. I don't mind sharing the story again. I did in the process. I say it every year. You know the story very well. I was to attend a camp meeting in 95, organized by the Believers Love World. And I was not chanced to go by my parents because I was in university then. And so my father was really against it. But I remember that Pastor Chris said, he said, even if you don't have money, I will never forget this. If you don't have money, say wherever you are, turn your direction towards the venue and keep coming. Say, just keep coming. I mean, those were not jokes to me. That was the Holy Spirit speaking. That you must be there. That there are things God will do there, He will not do in your room. That's why I started planning to go. And my dad said, I can't go. In fact, he stood at the door throughout the day. He was reading newspapers there. So there's no way I could have gone. On the Thursday. But I was determined. So in the evening, at night, since he left the door, I took my things. I'm not teaching you any skills. So I threw them, you know, there was an uncompleted building there also. I threw my things there. I packed myself very well. My shoes, everything. My Bible. So early next morning, I just wore bathroom slippers like I was taking a stroll. So, bye-bye. So I took a stroll down, locked the gate, I came back, packed myself, off I went. And I didn't have enough money. I just put money for tapes, buy new books, and then just money to get to the place. Now, so I missed my way. Rather than dropping me at Topo, I mean stopping at the Topo Junction, I went straight to Seme, but I didn't know where the place was. So they now told me, you are past the place. Alright. So I said, if I take this money and take an Okada, that means I have to take out the money for my tapes. So I said, Pastor Chris said, wherever you are, face the venue and keep coming. So, I face the venue. Several hours of, you know that journey? Same to Topo, So I began to walk. Speaking in tongues. It was in the sun. So by the time I got, it was in the evening. So I got in the venue. Not knowing that the previous day I missed, they didn't have any sessions. They just had welcome for everybody. He never ministered. So that was going to be his first session that I got to. God has a way of meeting the needs of a hungry heart. Hallelujah. He just has a way of doing it. As I got on the venue, I was taking my bag. Interestingly, I was recalling some of my friends. They were coming from Ibadan, so I paid for them. Thinking that when they come, they will reimburse me so I have money to eat. They didn't show up. They have still not showed up. So, as I dropped my bag, I said, I was carrying my bag, I got it. Pastor Chris said, there's someone from Ikorodu here coming to this, from another ministry. He said, the name of the ministry is Faith Fellowship. Our ministry was Faith Family Fellowship. He said, Faith Fellowship. Wow. So I told the guy, was from Ghana. I said, he's talking about me. The guy said, drop your stuff and run. So I dropped the stuff. And I began. So I said, drop my stuff. Ew. I can't do that too. Professor can wait. Let me. So I just dropped the stuff and I ran there. Ran. As I got there, somebody else had showed up. I can't imagine where the person came from. Because I thought I were the only fit, whatever. He said, no, it's not you, it is you. I said, So he began to speak. Because when I was coming, I was praying, said, Lord, I'm coming to this conference with the nations of the world. Everyone you sent me to, I bring them with me. I carry their burdens to this minister to me, their Lord. So as I got there, he began to prophesy. He laid hands on me, began to speak, and he spoke on me. I know the things he said. I say them small. Hallelujah. Very dear to my heart. When I got there at the right, what if I stayed at home? What if I just decided, well, is this that period we have family picnic? Oh, a cousin of mine needed to marry and have to be there. Maybe I won't be here today. Many of us miss out of appointments. Have you missed an appointment before? Have you ever missed a flight before? I've missed one. And I know what it cost me. One time I was in London. You were there. And I was coming back to Nigeria. And myself and Brother Femi, our husband, we weren't married then. He was schooling in the UK then. So we just had a great time where these things, I haven't seen him for a while. So we're talking and talking. So I actually went and checked my stuff in. And we're talking. So we spoke so well. Let me start leaving. So I hugged him now. See you. And we hugged him. So we were doing Nigeria Parapop. So as I got there, the guy said, Lagos? I said, yeah, Lagos. I've been at the airport for a long time. Just but I've been here even before. Well, you ought to have crossed security by this time. It's late. I'm checking. I was there. I was just with my brother. We were talking. You know, I said, you missed the flight. I said, see. I was not talking to the airport manager. I said, see, I have an engagement tomorrow. It's not right. It was actually our pastor's appreciation party. I said, and I have to be there. Understand it, please. Understand, I have to be there. You get my point. He said, Mr. Man, a very strong British accent. If you're thinking of going on that plane, forget it. Go there now and rebook your flight for tomorrow. Doesn't come any sharper. So I had to sit down. You know, I had to wait. Just waiting for the next flight. No need to sleep. Because if you sleep again, I had to fly to Abuja. Then Abuja to Lagos. Because I missed. What about an appointment by the Holy Ghost? You know, you can't make that one again. You'll have to wait for another one. Hallelujah. You'll have to wait for another one. Imagine when Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem. You know what he said then? Sir, that's my birthday time. We normally in my family meet in Samaria. You know, you have said that. We should not leave at all. But can we just go for one day? Just a day. I can miss Saturday session and be back on Sunday. Is there time in Jerusalem? Until you be endued. And they wait. No matter how sincere you are as a believer, if you did not wait, you would only be reading the story as we are reading it today. You won't be part of them. Even if you are someone and say, Lord, I know God is everywhere. Miracle worker. You are the miracle worker. Come and give a miracle. Miracle today. That's for another thing. Not for that. That meeting is no longer yours. You don't miss appointments by the Spirit of God. You have to be there. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to be there. There are things God will not tell you, but He will ask others to tell you. So, if you are not in relationship with them, and you allow, I was somewhere and I'm going to put that today anyway on social media. I said, I commend those people who have stayed with what we call world churches for years. You know, our generation is so funny. We hardly find people stay in a church 20 years. Our parents, in spite of what they didn't know, they'll be in a church, family church, you know about it. 30 years. This one, every 2 years. Another Austrian jacket. Oh, that was a mystery. Now we don't get that. Every 2 years. Yeah, that place. It is something I didn't like. Everywhere always will have something you don't like. So I always give kudos to those who stayed in church and helped those churches that have the word, revelation, knowledge, and the thing of the Spirit. You help those churches grow. In spite and despite. Hallelujah. In spite and despite. You help them grow. We'll learn together. We'll grow together. We'll fight together. And we settle it together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because our vision is stronger than our personalities. Where we're going is stronger than the things happening around here. Those who prophesy us going to the nations are no longer here. But we are there. Hallelujah. You get it? So, you don't allow strife. There's some things that supersede personal sentiments. Something, that brother, he spoke to me somehow. That's just part of life. Praise the Lord. How did I get here? How did I get here now? I was talking about something. The way God works things out. There are things He won't tell you. You know, Paul didn't go to the Gentiles until Acts 13. He told others to tell him. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. For the work I've called them. He gave that to someone else. You know, He gave Ananias Paul's vision. That's how God does things. You must never try to figure God out with your little brain. Praise the Lord. I shared the story last February. I went to Tulsa. And those of you who knew that from last year ending, I kept saying, I have to make that. You know, I kept saying it. I have to be there. I have to be there. And I said, I have to be there. I said, no matter what. Even when I didn't have funds to get the ticket, I got someone to help me arrange for instrumental payment. I said, I have to go to that Winter Bible Center. So I traveled about 15 hours. When I got to Tulsa, I was so tired. I never flew 15 hours before. And I'm very hyperactive on the plane. My dad told me that he had never seen a human being this restless in his life. Your father tells you that, just take it to the bank. It's true. So, I got in and I was so tired. So I told myself, let me get to the hotel, freshen up so that I can be very fresh for the meeting. You know, common sense. I can be very fresh for the meeting. Let me get to the hotel. So I told myself, I didn't come here to freshen up. That my culture, ever since I started coming for this meeting, is to go there first. So I said, I'll listen to my training. Let me go. I'm tired. I'm sleepy, but I'll get there first. So I took the taxi. I said, no, go straight to River Bible Church. So I got in there, I was just getting in a couple of minutes. But the minister said, if you're a pastor from Nigeria, come out. And I was the only pastor. How about that? This was just, this is March, last month. And I came out. That means God saw my heart. How I didn't have enough funds, because that was when the Naira and dollar started fighting. So I said, don't come near me, don't come near me, don't come near me. Do that kind of thing. Don't come near me, don't come near me. And they went far, they were keeping money very far. One another. So ticket you should have bought for 200,000 became over for half a million. And I had to stay somewhere and things like that. So I got there and I was ministered to by the Spirit of God. What if I had gone to the hotel? Maybe they will have given the call and nobody will come out. Or maybe there will be no call at all. Somebody listen to what I'm saying. Now, let me tell you the end point of that story. That makes it very intriguing. So, when we're through, now, Brother Tokes, who we went, he had gone ahead of me. So, I said, oh, let's get to the hotel where I'm going to stay. So, we'll go check in. So, I took my card. Let's go there. You know, in this Buhari era, you have to first tell your bank, I'm traveling on 14th. By 2 p.m., I'll be there. By 3 p.m., release the card, you know. It's become so stringent now. So I got to the hotel, you know, after the session, and the card didn't work. In fact, the card didn't work at all. So am I staying in the States? So if I had gone, I would not have entered in, and I would not have been in the meeting as well. Hallelujah. I would have missed an appointment. So there'll be an area of my life and ministry, but what's going on? I wouldn't have known I missed an appointment. An instruction, wisdom, an impartation by the Spirit I ought to have received and missed it. So I'm now struggling. Are you listening to what I'm saying? March 24 to 28 is an appointment. What do I call it? An appointment. Find your way. There's no wedding for that period. Anybody who cannot be raised from the dead during that period, you won't attend the burial. You understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. There's an appointment. Glory to God. Look at Numbers. Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Here's Moses in a conversation with God. And God says to him in verse 16, Numbers 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, Numbers 11, 16, notice the word, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. He says, bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. Look at those. I want you to notice how God is communicating. Gather them, bring them into a place, then they will stand with you. Very, very instructive. Then it goes to 17. And I'll come down and talk with you there. So, God is going to minister to them. I'm going to ask you now. Is he going to minister to them individually or through Moses? Huh? Very good. And I will take off the spirit which is upon you, and I'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that thou bearest it not thyself alone. Do you know this? He said they shall come into one place. That everybody will be in the same place. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This was when Saul was going to be anointed to be chosen as king. Look at the instructions he was given. Verse 5. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? It shall come to pass that when thou art come either to the city, thou shalt meet what? Huh? A company of who? Prophets. Coming down from the high place, the psaltery and the tabret and the pipe and the harp before them, and they shall what? Prophesy. Look at 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be that when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with you. He asked him to go to a place. You know, Jesus, he said, go to this place. Tell them to gather in a place. Someone say a place. Say a place. Supernatural and divine appointments happen in a place. Make sure you are there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Someone say a place. You go to a place. The second thing about supernatural appointments is that it has a people. Someone say a people. There are a kind of people that should be there. You can't get what we're talking about at a wedding reception. Say, well, I know I'm supposed to be at a camp meeting, but my spirit is there. I know. My spirit is there. So you put your MP4 player. I'll be listening to the word of God. I'll be doing live streaming. I'll live stream. Why do you think live streaming is for? It's for people who cannot come, not who don't want to come. No! If you're not under persecution, come. In the end, you come to that place. There is a people. Hallelujah. 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 1996. I was in a meeting. We call it Prophecy 96. That all we will do from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. is prophesy. Yeah, but have you been to Kaka meeting before? Prophecy 96. We had, in one night, about 10 speakers come and prophesy. Hallelujah. The right kind of people were there. I'll never forget what happened to me that night. Never forget. I was in the right place. At the right place. Glory to God. Prophecy 96. You be there. Where were you? Ah, sir. Some people will try to give you an excuse. Sir, I know you understand what I'm about to explain. I have this cousin. He has never come to Nigeria before. He is doing camp meeting that is landing. I don't know why, but and I feel that it would be fair for him to come all the way from Saudi Arabia and then not have anybody take him to. And you know, it's an opportunity to also preach the gospel. No problem. You can go. Did you notice? Let me ask those of you who know what I'm going to say. Have you noticed that if you have a friend in the church and then you go for meetings like that and he or she doesn't attend, you may find it difficult to relate after? Who has noticed that before? Have you ever been able to explain it? It's like you are in two worlds. Am I making sense? You just can't. Hallelujah. Because those things are spiritual impacts. It's not like the person becomes ugly, then you are finer. No, just somewhere in the spirit, things have moved. Hallelujah. Things have just moved. I went for a prayer conference in Eyenkori, near Ilorin. We prayed like that's the only thing we should do in our life. Just prayed. At the point, we prayed and we all started crying. Let's go. Oh, Jesus! But the thing is, hallelujah. So much impact. By the time I got back to Ikorodu then, it was 95, I think. 95 or 4, one of the two. By the time I came back, I came straight to a particular meeting. As I got there, they prayed till 11 p.m. No, I didn't ask them to pray. I didn't say, I pray though. You have to pray. I was just sharing with them about prayer. And one brother fell down in body. I was just sharing. Something was coming out of me. Hallelujah. I had gotten an encounter. You have to be at the right place. Did you know that Peter was different than Acts 2? Peter, damsel, small damsel. Peter, Isaiah said, I don't know him. That was the first thing he said. They started swearing. I don't know him. The third level. Said, if I knew him, let my life spoil. He got that. Peter, and nobody was going to beat him. You know, nobody was ever crucified with Jesus. Why were they running? I don't know. I just came to town and said, I said, I don't know him. I'm not even religious. I'm not religious at all. I don't even like church. He denied it. But when he was there at the right place, a man that couldn't face one person, now had thousands, said, oh, ye men of Judea, ye men of Judea, hear this. And he spoke so boldly. Hallelujah. Why? Something had happened to him in April. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. I was in one place. Excuse me, sir. Can I quickly go and eat myself? You won't be in the place. You won't be there. You won't be that can eat yourself four times in a session. Sir, I won't be able to make. I won't be able to make that Friday out. Why? There is something I have to do. Very important. My wife's family. They require my presence. Not the presence of God, though. My. They were all together where? In one place. Don't say one place. There's always a place. Hallelujah. You know, in Matthew's Gospel 26, the Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, go and meet me in some place. Said, meet me at this place. That's why they all came to the place where he had appointed. Why did he talk to them personally? Why in one place? Because there's always a place. There's always a people. Who are those who are there? In Acts 13, they were all at the church in Antioch. And then they were prophets and teachers. So there's always a place and then a people. And then the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. What makes a meeting? It's not the venue. What makes a meeting is not, I like that venue. See your mouth. Come and see the light, the stick light. He will just shine on our bodies so we can take selfie. Mm-mm. What's important in the place is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of seeing and knowing. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Spirit of the prophet. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Taking hold of men and women. Glory to God. I said 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 glory to God. Thank you, Lord. A lady, she shared this testimony in 2013. We had this camp meeting. We called it Best of Two Worlds. In 98, March 12 to 14, at Cream, in the Anure Battle. That's what we had. And that meeting took a whole lot of, you know, efforts. We had to give. We had to do all sorts. We had to do, because we were feeding people. We're not much. I think the entire meeting was about 50 or 60, something like that. So the very first day, you know, we were trying to, that was the day the Archbishop with that host of pastor. And I remember that day, I opened that camp meeting and I was in tears. And the Archbishop is gone. It felt so, funny because he's a man I really respect. And the meeting went on. Great move of the Spirit of God. And we just moved over. This lady, she runs a ministry in London, in Europe. She said, have you forgotten that day? I know her. She said, have you forgotten that day you laid hands on me and then you prophesied? You said, I was going to do this. Then I never knew I was going to live in Europe. But you told me. I never knew. So when I even got married, my husband said he wasn't going to leave Nigeria. That we were going to go abroad at all. It's going to be for holiday. He said, but somehow, that prophecy came to pass. Now I'm in Europe, holding Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. Both in the UK, in Ireland. And because of that meeting. In a place. With the people. And in the Spirit. Never, ever. Forget that that's how God works. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, neglect not the gift, which is in thee when you were praying. Is that what he said? No. Giving thee by prophecy. And laying on hands of who? The elders. That means they were in a place. Praise the Lord. The right people. You know, there are some prayers that are good. When your grandfather is praying for you, you make it. And it's good. You say amen. I say amen to anybody's prayer, even if it's a Muslim. Somebody wishes you well. I'm not saying it has authority. Say, yeah, well, my son. Amen. I don't have a problem with saying amen. You know, amen and yes are spiritual words. But then they are different from when the Spirit of God is ministering to you. Hallelujah. Ministering to you. Ministering to you as a person. The Spirit of God. That is why we hold camp meetings. A place, a people, and the Spirit of God. I don't want to go into the testimonies of people that have come over the years. Lives never remain. By the word of God and by the things of the Spirit. We've had many people here. Several. People have told those who would be prayed for across the television. There was somebody in I think it was 2013 camp. He was bedridden, paralyzed for about 2-3 years. And we spoke, I think it was 2013 or 14. And he got up. He was living outside the country. Several of the people that will come. Many will be filled with the Holy Ghost, many healed. And much more for us is the believer coming into his own in Christ and being able to walk in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we hold our captive. Hallelujah. They are special meetings. Not just special meetings. Special meetings for you. So I want to quickly talk to you. How do I prepare? You want to hear this? How do I prepare? Because what you don't expect will come to you. You must be expected. The most important thing right now is that you have heard about it. For you to hear about it, listen carefully, it means the Lord wants you to be there. If this is your first time in this service, and you're hearing about it, it means he wants you to be there. Praise the Lord. In this church, we don't talk from our head. We talk from the Spirit. And that's why we do a lot of praying. So that we're not talking from our head. We do a lot of praying. To minister by the Holy Ghost. So, if you came for the first time, or you've been away for a while, you came, and it means you've got to be. So the first thing to prepare for a meeting, the first thing, and the most important thing, is to make up your mind to be there. That's the first thing. You're in Lagos here. You know people are coming in from different countries. Are you aware of that? Flying into the country. People are coming from the north. The last time we had representatives over about 20 states flew in, came in, my boss, some ran in there. This year we're going to have more. Across West Africa, people are coming in from Europe for this country. How can you be in Lagos and you're not there? You know, it's a sin. It's a sin. You have something to do. Somebody came all the way. All the way. You know we have ministries in Boko Haram terrorized areas. I hope you know. We do have. In those areas. People, they are coming. Praise the Lord. To receive the word. From different parts of the country. People from other churches. I know churches that are bringing their entire workforce. You cannot hear about it and not be there. Bringing the entire workforce. That we are coming. Someone say, it's too far, Pastor. It's far, it's too far. Can you bring it near? I said, just come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So you have to be there. Make up your mind. Like I did. If I didn't then, I won't be talking to you now. You know, well, maybe I'll just be somewhere. I'll be archdeacon. With big stomach. I won't have married my wife. She won't have said yes to me. Because I wasn't really a neat guy. She was more obtuse. I wasn't. I think I proposed to her in bedroom sleeper, something close to that. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but something close to that. You get? So, you know, everything I've always had in my life are spiritual things. Hallelujah. So imagine if I'll be one executive somewhere and I'll just be what I was. I served the Lord. I served him. Are you dead? No. You are still alive? And I say, I served the Lord. You should say that in heaven. Hallelujah. You can do that. Make up your mind that I'm going to be there. Number two, pray about the meeting. Pray. Any preparation spiritually. Preparation engages prayer. Do you hear me? Preparation always engages prayer. Always. Preparation always engages prayer. Always. Are you still there? This week we are fasting, right? And preparing. We pray. You pray. Praying for it. As you are praying for others, you are preparing yourself. You know, you never hear Paul say, I began to pray for myself. No. He was praying for others and preparing himself. You pray for others. Are you listening? That's the second. You pray for others. The third, you support the meeting. Support it. Maybe financially, you give. What you don't give to is something you do not value. You give. I know someone who has called us already. Said, if you are giving your books free, that means you are printing it with your money. So I'm going to find a way to support that so that we can spread these materials around the world. Okay. The meetings don't come free. Because we're not using this place. Even if we're using this place, it doesn't belong to us. Wherever we're using, it's going to cost us money. We're going to have people transported from different places. We're going to have, you know, so many things. You support it. You give. Then what else? You're part of those who are maybe the ushering team, maybe the music team. You're part of it. You're part of it. You're part of it. So the first thing is that you make up your mind to be there. You pray. Then you support it. Then number four, you use your word. Like I did mine. He said, Father, I receive all the blessings of the Spirit. Thursday, March 24th to Monday, March 28th. You know, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. Let me close here. In Mark 5, that woman, the Bible says, kept saying, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed. Then she kept saying, Jesus was going towards Jairus' house. He wasn't planning to minister to her.
He was going this way, and she was coming like this. And she touched his clothes, and the power came back. Your words give direction to the power of God. What did I say? My words give direction to the power of God. You begin to say, during these meetings, the Spirit of God will minister to me. I will hear words that will change my life. My understanding of Christ will change a deeper level. In the name of Jesus. If you're sick in the body, say, I'll receive healing. My ministry will be enhanced. You begin to speak, getting ready to go. And then lastly, and most importantly, make sure you are there. Hallelujah. Make sure you are there. Glory to God. Make sure you are there. I'm convinced that the word of God is growing in Nigeria. You know, we have made up our minds in this church to give all we have for the word of God to influence this country. It won't be by politics. It won't be by business. It won't be by commerce. It will be by the Spirit of God. The prophet said, it's not by might. It's not by power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we're not going to compromise. We'll stick to what we're doing. We'll keep praying and receiving and believing and receiving. Putting out the word. We know God spoke to us last year of a season of planting. And this is our first camp meeting in that season. And so I'm already looking at different parts of the world. Different parts of the world. Where the word will grow. And the Lord's been speaking to us. And we're taking advantage of the kind of doors we have been getting. The president of one of the largest theological seminaries in America, he called us a couple of weeks back. First of all, to acknowledge how he has been following my post on Facebook. And then he said, I request the so-and-so material. Give me the permission to use it in our school. And from time to time, I want you to come around to come and teach. In that seminary, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But he said, I'm going to get the boldness either this year or next year to reverse my stand. The stand of over 40 years to begin to teach those things. Hallelujah. That's the kind of testimonies we have in the Saints Community Church. Hallelujah. And I can go into other people, other parts of the world, who are receiving the message. Sometimes you say, dear Lord, we never knew that by those small things we were doing, lives can be this transformed. What if we double up? What if we did more? What if we did so much? We are going to. Hallelujah. We are going to. I believe that this ministry, we're going to spend money in millions of dollars in a short while. And the Lord will teach us how to use the money. We won't do anything that is popular, but we'll make the word popular. Hallelujah. That's our mandate. And that's our mission. It's a long road, and we're taking it on. We're going to pray more. We're going to reach out more. Hallelujah. Nations of the world will come to the gospel of Christ. French speaking, Spanish speaking, all over the world, Arabic speaking, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So camp meeting is an event, more than an event. is a vision of the Spirit for you, for your friends. Invite your friends. And I want to make this special appeal to people who are backsliding Christians. We used to serve God but have stopped. If you can drug them and drag them, bring them. The grace upon Capman in 2016 is ease. E-A-S-E. Ease. I'm saying that ahead of time. Ease. Many who had a heaviness will become light. And they will flow in liberty by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God is moving in our lives. Moving through it to reach others. Camp meeting is your appointment. God wants you to be there. And I want to say this, if in case you have missed other things, I know it can be painful, maybe you've missed other appointments. God is not wicked. Since your heart is right, He will restore the things you missed in this meeting. If there are things you lost by disobedience, make sure you are in this meeting. Make sure you are there. Make sure you are available. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you're not aware of this before, we are fasting. Join us. Praying every day. We pray 11 p.m. to 12 midnight. Every day. We have prayer points that will be on the bulletins for you to see. Just pray. And during the day also, you at least pray 2 hours. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Just pray. Getting ready. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not sure whether I'm going to allow you to have the free books. I think I want others who are not members of our church to have it. I'll decide the word. Amen. But the word of God will be taught. The Spirit of God will have a free course. Bodies will be healed. Men will be filled with the Spirit. Boldness will be imparted. Ministries will be stirred by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many will have visions and revelations. Hallelujah. Oh, encounters with the God kind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your prayer life will change. Your life of study will change by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands toward heaven. Bless them. Lift your hands toward heaven. In the time of the Spirit, a time, an appointment with God. It's an appointment with God in your life. In your life.